Hey, what's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to Cogitations. Cogitations, it's the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." Now, we're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. Today, we're going to talk about this listener request that has to do with mechanical instruments of music in relation to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Before we get into our podcast, look at the top left. There's a QR code there. You can support the podcast. Many of you do. Thank you so much. Because of your support, we are able to reach a much larger audience, I think, than we normally would. I think the YouTube page is growing rather nicely. Keep sharing and being the algorithm for us on that. Be the algorithm for us on Facebook. But every time you donate to us, that goes in a pool. And when we get enough money, we can launch an ad campaign. Currently, we're looking to get $600 so we can do another big push for the Christianity Now Facebook page. The more we're able to advertise, the more our content gets out there, the more supporters we garner, and the more we're able to advertise. And the higher the production quality, we can actually spend money on things. Aaron Dotson will be done with camp this week, and he'll be back on the show Tuesday. We were thankful to Todd Clifford for him standing in for Aaron. That being said, let's get into the podcast. We do have a sponsor. Often, people need a listening ear and support as they work through the varied situations of life. Sometimes those situations are so complex and overwhelming that you need some support. This is why LaBeth started Be a Mindful Soul. At Be a Mindful Soul, LaBeth's mission is to offer anything from a listening ear and the advice of an older sister to help finding a professional in your area if needed. Be sure to go to www.beamindfulsoul.com and check out all the services that she has to offer. She can help answer your questions about therapy treatment or other mental health services that you may need. She also provides affordable assistance and support with resolving relationship conflicts, gaining and implementing more effective parenting skills, and can help coach you through the steps you need to take in regards to finding the peace and stability that you deserve. That's www.beamindfulsoul.com. Now, good day. Hello, Jonathan Exum. Hello, Missy Malone. Everything is doing really well up here. Just went outside to take the dog out. It's bright and sunny, but it feels like it's about 75 degrees. I don't know what y'all are dealing with down south, but I would imagine it's a little warmer than that. Now, I want to preface the podcast today. We are entering into an area of scruple and judgment. I referenced a very healthy exchange where I talked about the Lord's Supper during this video series. I think this is the third part if I were going to be labeling them, where I talked about having something in our mouths whenever it came to the Lord's Supper. Like during the wintertime, I'll have a Vicks cough drop or a Vicks vitamin C drop or something like that in my mouth. And I had gotten to where I would just push it off into my cheek. And I would push it off under my cheek. And I would take of the Lord's Supper. So I would eat the cracker. I would drink the grape juice, this fruit of the vine. But that got to bothering me because I'm like, there's no way. Like, even though I'm just storing this in my cheek, it's still causing me to salivate. I still have it in my mouth. The piece of candy is what it is. It's just candy with a little bit of medicinal factor. It's mixing with the implements of the Lord's Supper, and I'm ingesting this. And by virtue of the fact that I'm thinking about it, it's taking my mind out of what I'm supposed to be doing. So while it might not be where God is looking down from heaven at me and saying, "Well, you obviously have a disdain for the Lord's Supper, so you're going to bust hell wide open, I have decreed," I was having a crisis. Well, I had a crisis of conscience. It's real easy to remedy. I just stopped. Now, I relayed that, and I had several of you in the comment section say, I feel the same way. I make sure there's nothing in my mouth. And one of our listeners, who's a longtime listener, said, from now on, there'll be nothing in my mouth when I partake of the Lord's Supper. And I actually said, well, I'm sorry for putting that scruple in your head. Because a scruple is something that we bind on ourselves that God hasn't necessarily bound. Okay? In other words, if you told me that you keep a cough drop in your mouth when you partake of the Lord's Supper, I don't have enough, and I'm holding up my New Testament here, I don't have enough book, chapter, and verse to withdraw fellowship from you. In other words, I go back to Matthew 7, judge not that you be not judged. Well, why? Because the level of judgment that you judge others with, that's the level of judgment that you're going to be judged with. Yes, I know that I ended two sentences with a preposition. And as a famous grammarian and linguistic scholar once opined, that ending sentences with prepositions is something up with which one should not put. That being said, I am not comfortable judging with that level of judgment. So I'm just going to observe the Passover. I don't use a cough drop when I partake of the Lord's Supper. If you do, then you work that out in your own mind, and you're going to stand or fall before God. And I see here we got Dennis Saunders says, amen. John Exum said, yeah, I'd be scared I'd choke on the cough drop if I did that. Well, I had many, many years, Jonathan, of keeping things in the pouch between my cheek and gum and not choking on it, if you understand my meaning, all right? And Jonathan says, I don't mind you if you mention be my name, by the way. Incidentally, the questioner that asked about the question for today was John Exum. John, do you mind if I read your comment, the private message that you sent me? There's a piece that I think anything in there you wouldn't mind having. There's a piece of information that in that comment that you might want to keep private. But other than that, I'm just asking before I read the comment. Now, so I think I've laid the foundation for scruple. Now, what I noticed whenever, awesome, Jonathan, thank you so much. What I noticed is in the comment section when I made that observation is there were many people that said they felt the same way, and one person actually, when presented with this information, said they were going to modify their actions. And I made the observation, what if I made a podcast and I made my thumbnail that, you know, communicated that we were going to be talking about adding to the Lord's Supper. And I got on the podcast and I wagged my finger and I said, if you folks that drink coffee or have cough drops in your mouth during the Lord's Supper, you people are adding to the Bible. Deuteronomy, Proverbs, and Revelation has all three of those, the beginning, the middle, and end, has admonitions not to add to or take away, and you're adding to. So you're not keeping the commandment of Jesus the way you're supposed to keep it. And Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. So you obviously don't love Jesus. You just think you do. And you're in danger of hellfire if you don't repent. Would I have changed anybody's mind? Would I have brought anybody over to my way of thinking? You know? So I'm going to present this today. And what I'm going to present, y'all, I don't believe it's a scruple. I believe this is law. But because I'm modeling the behavior of my master, whenever Jesus taught some very difficult things that were fundamental to our Christianity, he said, if you got a set of ears, this is for you. So I cannot be the police. I've got to preach the hard messages. I've got to preach what the Bible says, regardless of whether or not people are offended by it, regardless of whether or not it steps on any toes, regardless of whether or not it steps on my toes. I've got to preach it the way I see it. My job is 1 Timothy 4:16. Study, take heed unto myself, study and teach those what I've studied. And subsequently, then I'll save myself and those that hear me. So what I'm going to teach today, I don't believe is scruple, but in practice, in effect, it's scruple. Well, why is that? Because I have no control over you. Nobody, really and truly, nobody does. So, for instance, if I lay out this case that it's a sin to listen for entertainment purposes, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with mechanical instruments of music, and I lay that out, and you're convinced, well, then you're going to change your behavior because you're good people. But if you're not convinced, then how am I going to make you change your behavior? And how is that going to affect me? Listen, if I'm ever in the car with somebody that wants to listen to these like Hillsong or other contemporary Christian, quote-unquote Christian artist, I'm just going to tell them, look, we can't listen to that while I'm here. I have a crisis of conscience. I'd rather just not listen to anything. Let's open up YouTube, listen to a podcast, or let's find some example of congregational singing and let's sing or something to that effect. But how does that affect me if I'm not with you and you listen to that? It doesn't affect me at all. Because you're not going to bring it into the assembly. Nobody believes it. No honest person believes you can bring that into the assembly. If they also hold to the fact that mechanical instruments of music in praise and worship to God are wrong. So even though I don't believe it's an issue of judgment or scruple, it is in effect must be treated like an issue of judgment or scruple. Because if not, then you would be withdrawing fellowship from the uninformed. So I have to treat this as an issue of judgment and an issue of scruple. That's right, I'd rather talk to the person riding with me. And Deborah, I'm with you there, but I've been on some long trips. You get tired of talking to people. Ask Josh Cantrell, Brock Kendall, who else? It was me, Brock Kendall, Josh Cantrell. Hold on, now, y'all, I got to pull out my calculator. There were six people in the car. So it was me, LaBeth, Anthony, Abigail, Josh Cantrell, Brock Kendall. Okay, that's six. Yeah. There's only so much talking you can do, and we wanted to listen to the radio. We were traveling from Arkansas to New Brunswick, Canada in 2016. And that was a 30 hour drive. Are there, however, sins of ignorance that we may do because of society or conditioning that may be wrong, but we can't see it as a whole due to the falsehoods we've been fed? Oh, I guarantee there are. And the only way I can reconcile that in my soul is the judge of all the earth will do right. You see, the more easily something is to discern, the easier something is to discern, the more of a responsibility we have of getting it right. Guy N. Woods made this observation about the Bible. We're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ignorance is no excuse. We are responsible for educating ourselves, all right? But do we have the same level of responsibility when it comes to understanding for all passages of Scripture? He said no. Now, the first time I heard that, I disagreed with him. And Guy N. Woods is pretty smart, and I wouldn't have, I'd made sure I didn't agree with him lightly. However, I turned out to be wrong. here's how he put it. Go to Revelation. Think of the scripture about that serpent and the 1,000 years and the chain and the pit and the being in prison and then letting out of prison and this, that, and the other. Do you have the same responsibility of understanding for that passage as you do for a passage that's very, very simple to understand, like a verse, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned? Well, I've got way more responsibility of understanding for the one than I do the other. What's up, Ben Grady? Ben Grady's commenting on my personal profile. So my point is this. There've got to be some things that God would consider transgressions of the law that we actively participate in, about which we are ignorant as a culture, that if we're walking in the light as he is in the light, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of life in Christ. Now, what are those? Well, we're ignorant of them, so we don't know. It's kind of like the Dunning-Kruger effect. Go Google the Dunning-Kruger effect, and it's the Dunning-Kruger effect is basically the people that are the dumbest think they know the most because they are ignorant. They are ignorant of what they are ignorant. That's hard concept. And John Exum says, yeah, I'm willing to change if I'm wrong. I sure don't want to go to hell. And as a preacher, I want to be an example or a model to the believer. Yeah, so let me get into the question. And since I've got permission, Jonathan, I'm going to read your question. Also, could these be one of those errors that are not damnable? Just came to mind with this question. So let me mitigate what I just said about, okay, so all error would be damnable. The judge of all the earth is going to be right. So there's a sense in which I have to read the Bible and follow my convictions. The things that are easiest to discern, we have a higher responsibility for than the things that are more difficult to discern. Ignorance of Scripture is not, repeat, not a blissful condition to be in. I want to put that up here. Ignorance of the Scripture is not a blissful condition to be in. Even if it is the case that the judge of all the earth will do right, and there is something in Scripture of which we are ignorant, and because we are children of light, and or we are light and we are walking as children of light, if God's grace covers, that still doesn't mean that ignorance is bliss. Because we have a responsibility not to be ignorant. And that's 2 Timothy 2:15, to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And incidentally, I put forth to you, it's also in 2 Peter, besides all this, give diligence, add to your faith knowledge, and then that line that takes you closer to God. Now, let me read Jonathan's question. All right. And as per instruction, I said, hey, because I couldn't tell who it was that asked the question in the moment. And I said, just so I don't forget about this, send me a private message so it'll be fresh in my mind. And that was about a week or so ago, maybe more. But anyway, so I was the commenter regarding listening to mechanical instruments of music. This is the reminder that you requested to do a podcast. I will admit to you that I do sometimes listen to them once in a while. But if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong and I should stop. So this statement right here tells me, if I didn't know Jonathan Exum and I just got this from a perfect stranger, this statement tells me that this person is honest. All right? These are the kind of questions that you want to deal with as a Bible teacher. And I do set myself out there as a Bible teacher, even though our brother James says, be ye not many masters or teachers. All right, so he says, I only do so when I'm driving and don't want to fall asleep if I'm on a long trip or my mind is overwhelmed. I am autistic, so I wonder if that comes to play in it. It absolutely comes to play in it with what you're describing. So you're on a long trip. You have a lot of responsibility for getting to point. And I'm not being patronizing. Look, whenever you're driving and you're on a long trip, especially if you have a passenger, It's very overwhelming. You have a responsibility to your passenger. You have a responsibility to the people who sent you. You have a responsibility to the people you're going to see. And to traverse the interim distance between point A and point B safely, legally, with some modicum of not pleasure so much, comfort, you know? You want to make sure the other person is not too hot, not too cold, not too bored, not hurting in any way. So your mind, just the prospect of traveling, your mind can be overwhelmed. And with autism, autism is a sensory issue. And yes, your mind can be very overwhelmed. And music is a good way to calm the mind, to keep it from being overwhelmed. All right. Now, I'm autistic, so I wonder if that comes into play. Yes, absolutely, it comes to play in it. So I've been listening since I was a child. I don't want to die lost. Well, first off, I'm not the judge of all the earth. If I was the judge of all the earth, I would make a ruling here that might be, well, it would be way more harsh and unforgiving and unmerciful than the judge of all the earth. Okay. My one and done, my judgment here would be listening to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs for any other purpose besides giving them to God, while also adding mechanical instruments to music, is sinful. And there's an extra layer to it when we're listening to people who are not even Christians. So I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to lay out my case, but I'm mitigating this because although I don't think this is a matter of judgment or scruple, it has to be treated as such because I'm not your boss. Nobody died and made me your Lord. All right. Yeah, my rule of driving is comfort goes for the driver. God bless you, Deborah. Paige Perry says, I too have listened to instrumental, quote unquote, worship and Christian music in the car simply to avoid the trash. Talking about booze, objectification of women, sex outside of marriage, etc. Lyrics on secular radio stations. Yeah, I'm with you. Most of the people, and this is where it gets into where I'm very careful to talk about intentions. Because I could say, well, look, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart's got to be reciprocal. That's not tied to the location of the worship service, so that's in your daily walk of life. So any other treatment besides that is wrong, period, done. And if you do it, then you don't love Jesus. Well, no, that's that. You can't do that. First off, you're never going to get somebody to look at your position if you do. Second, it's not right. I can't look at your heart. And from what I understand, most people who listen to there's a popular radio station down south called K-Love. It's quote unquote Christian radio. And the people who listen to that from the Lord's church, they're not listening with the intention of offering the right hand of fellowship to people who are practitioners of the unfruitful works of darkness. They're just wanting to stay away from the filth of secular radio. All right. Yes, we are in the age of information. It does take diligence, discernment, addressing the sum of evidences, consideration of all the known variables and reasonings, etc. Sometimes, learning and relearning, fighting through cognitive dissonance, etc. But we can look at things in a balanced way and address them from Scripture. That's the goal I want to accomplish with this live stream. Okay, and again, we spent 24 minutes front loading this. And I think it's a good thing that I've done because I don't want to come across as I'm coming up here and wagging my finger and saying, if you don't believe the way I believe on this, you're going to hell. Because it doesn't matter if you believe the way I believe. Is the case that I present from Scripture reasonable? And is it convincing enough for you to change your actions? Let me back up. There's another comment I wanted to get. Now that live streaming is readily available, I listen to more podcasts. My Bible app reading to me, or the YouTube channel that plays acapella hymns. Paige Perry, Would it be any trouble or too much trouble for you to paste a link in the chat from the YouTube channel that plays acapella hymns? Because from Jonathan's perspective, he says, I listen to these stations when my mind is overwhelmed. Does my autism have a play in this? I put forth that it does. And if Jonathan had an alternative, which keep in mind, if I'm setting forth as what I'm going to teach today is truth and morality, therefore deviance from it would be false and immoral, then I've got to provide an alternative, and this would be a good alternative. Live streams, podcasts, but Jonathan knows about those. Everybody knows about those. But you might not know about the YouTube channel that plays acapella hymns. All right. In the car now, most of my cogitations and digital Bible study listening is probably in the car these days. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Many times I recognize materialism and things rooted in evolution we take part in. There are layers of the onion, if you will, to learning. There absolutely are. And, looks like, okay, cool. Rusty and Paige got it. Thank you so much. And, appreciate that, Jonathan. Jonathan, and I love you, Tony, with the love of the Lord. Well, I appreciate it. And I love you too, brother. Man, I remember when I first met you, back down south in, Valdosta. You have grown into quite the man. Anyway. All right. So let me finish the comment here. So I've been listening since I was a child. I don't want to die lost. Thanks for your willingness to do a podcast on this and helping me. Listen, Jonathan, man, it's my pleasure. And I hope I'm being fair with the subject matter. Now, full transparency, I'm going to say it straight out of the front of my mouth so nobody misunderstands what I'm saying. I believe it is wrong to listen to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs for the purpose of entertainment, regardless of the source. I believe whenever Paul wrote instruction on how to be filled with the Spirit, all right, I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 5. I said I'm going to Ephesians chapter 5. My Bible is not. All right, verse 18, there's a commandment here. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then there are three participle phrases that answer the question of how. How do we accomplish being not drunk with wine, but being filled with the Spirit? Well, we are to do that by speaking, giving, and submitting, okay? Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. So giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of Jesus our Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, rather, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, after verse 21, from verse 22 to chapter 6, verse 9, Paul explains how we are to submit ourselves one to another. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That needs no commentary, okay? But what about speaking? How are we to speak? Well, first off, it's to be reciprocal. So speaking to yourselves, in what way? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. These words are clearly defined. I don't have enough time to define them now, but they are defined. This would be what is considered praise and worship music. What that means is that song, there's a long black train coming down the line. That's not psalms, hymns, or spiritual songs. George Strait put out a song, I Saw God Today. That's not a spiritual song. It's not a psalm and it's not a hymn. What else? Jesus Take the Wheel by Carrie Underwood. That's not a psalm, hymn, or spiritual song. So these, even if a song mentions spirituality or mentions God or mentions the church, that does not a psalm, hymn, or spiritual song make, okay? So we're talking about what would be reasonably considered praise and worship music. What we're supposed to sing, and we're supposed to make melody in our hearts, and we're supposed to orient them to the Lord. I put forth to you that unless these three things are met, we cannot participate in any way psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That means that if it's purely for entertainment, I don't need to sit down and listen to a group of the Lord's people with the absence of mechanical instruments of music sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Like, are they singing to me or are they singing to God? If they're singing to God, I need to participate. So for me, this knocks out the choirs. I cannot participate. I cannot sit in an audience where a choir comes. I can't Bible that. I can't Bible listening on the radio or listening on YouTube with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, okay? Because I have to participate and I have to give it to God. If it's for entertainment, then that's not for God. That's for man. All right. Now, let me, okay. The Acapella Hymn Channel on YouTube would also be a great resource for new Christians wanting to learn hymns or to use at devos because the music is included on that channel. You know what? I'll start listening to acapella music just to be safe. It's better to be safe than lost. That is true. There's a lot of utility in that. Is most everyone on YouTube? I'm on Facebook and my comments. Sue, I just saw your comment there. This is an opportunity for me to give this caveat. If I don't notice your comment, if I don't read your comment or at least acknowledge it, please copy and paste it again. Now don't spam. I mean, don't do this 10, 15 times in a row, but YouTube does. I mean, Facebook, YouTube, all these, they don't always play nice. So if I'm not ignoring your comment on purpose, I promise. But anyway, yeah, good to see you, Sue Ross. I'm scrolling up. This is the first comment of yours that I see, but yes, I think there's more people. Yeah. There are more people on YouTube now than there are on Facebook. All right. Paige Perry says, I actually use the Acapella Hymns channel to help my brother, who is legally blind, learn some of the common hymns we sing in worship since he can't see the hymnal or PowerPoint screen well. Pretty cool. A good rule of thumb may be, or a good rule may be, when in doubt, don't do it. That's the thing. That's actually Romans chapter 14. If you can't do it in faith, then you cannot do it. If you have a doubt, then that means you have a scruple. Well, there's Tony Cauldron. I'm on Facebook too, and no comments show up either. So, okay, I know what's happening. Let me do this. Let me go to design. No, hold on. Chat. Yeah, now all the new comments will be displayed on the screen. We'll see how that works. And John Exum says, honestly, most songs from denominationals are just the same line over and over again and has little sustenance. Well, that's true. Yeah. Especially the contemporary. So I am streaming on 5 different locations: Christianity Now, Cogitations, Tony Brewer, We Talk Truth, and YouTube. So oh wow, yeah. Sue Ross says, I can't comment on YouTube. I have an account, but still can't comment. Someone said for me to delete my account and redo it. Sue, I have no idea there. All right. So I'll leave the chat deal up so y'all can maybe, oops, hold on. Now, so I've laid the foundation here that I believe that Paul was specific with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, I want to make the point that Ephesians 5:19 is not bound to what we would commonly refer to as a worship service. All right? It's not bound to what would commonly be referred to as a worship service. Okay? Why do I say that? Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to notice the context. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Well, that's, we're walking worthy of the vocation, all right? We'll go to chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. So there's a second walk. So we're walking in love. Verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light. Walk as children of light. There's the third. There's the third walk. All right. Now, lick our finger and turn right. See, this is verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Folks, what Paul is telling us is how to live spirit-filled, spirit-led lives. He's not talking about a worship service. I've never understood why Ephesians 5:19 is interpreted within the confines of a worship service. This is our day-to-day lives. Here's the thing. If Ephesians 5:19 is only a worship service, then verse 18 is only a worship service. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. If Ephesians 5:19 is only a worship service, then Ephesians 20 is only a worship service, giving thanks always and for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if Ephesians 5:19 is only in a worship service, then Ephesians 5:21 is only a worship service. Therefore, the explanation of Ephesians 5:21 is only a worship service. So wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. That's only a worship service. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church, for he also died for it. That's only a worship service. Can you see where I'm going with this? What in Ephesians 5:19 and the surrounding context ties it exclusively to a worship service? Your rules for psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs are day in, day out. Whatever conviction you hold about psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs cannot be tied to the worship service exclusively. Right. Sandra, you say, I see one now on your screen from Rusty, but not in my list of comments. Yes. Oh, man. Well, that's weird. Y'all should be able to see each other, because both of you are on YouTube. Y'all, that's crazy. And I wish I had a good answer, but I don't. Now, again, I don't believe this is a matter of judgment or scruple, but how do I live in this world? How do I function how do I do anything for God if I have to make sure what you're doing behind closed doors is in alignment with the scriptures? Well, I can't. That's the idea. To yourselves, it could imply the assembly, but that's not a necessary inference. It might be reasonable to infer, but the problem is Christians were together all the time. We're not supposed to be an assembly only. Christianity is not an assembly only lifestyle. In our daily walk, we're supposed to be with the brethren. So again, to say to yourselves, if we say that to yourselves limits Ephesians 5:19 to the worship assembly, well then what about a Bible class? What about whenever I have two Christian families over for supper? You know, that's the thing. It's any time Christians are together, if they want to help one another, if they want to edify one another, you speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Think about, I don't know about you, but I grew up in Northwest Tennessee, and I spent a lot of time with Christians, and I worked in my uncle's sawmill. I worked in the apple orchard, and we hired people we knew, and most of the people we knew were from the church. And whenever we got together and we worked, we sang, you know, and it was given to God, but it also uplifted us as well. So something to think about. But yeah, that it's a reasonable inference that to yourselves implies the assembly, but it's not a necessary inference. So it's not by nature exclusive to the assembly. Now, well, let's say that, okay, so I've got all this, but Tony, when I listen to K-Love and I listen to those songs by those denominational people, I'm not worshiping, and I'm just doing that for entertainment. Well, my response would be, let's set Paul down. Hey, Paul, listen. You wrote Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. That's a complete sentence. When it comes to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, can I participate in them? Can I just listen to them for entertainment? Now, if we're only answering the words of Scripture, Paul might well say, well, Tony, have you not read what I wrote? You just referenced a complete sentence that I wrote. Is entertainment anywhere in there? Or are we to participate in these and give them to God? That's, to me, that's powerful. And I've been told, well, Tony, you can't say that because worship has to be intentional. My response is, you are correct. Giving it to God must be intentional. That means when I'm singing Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah, I don't need to do it on autopilot. I don't, just like I make sure that my prayer is not rote and vain repetition, I make sure that my singing is not rote and vain repetition. I actually mentally engage with the poetry that is set to melody, and I give that to God. To do anything less is to disengage from the process, and you treat it as vain. All right? For a while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, therefore what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. Yeah, so I don't know if I would say that that's a proof that we can worship in ignorance, because they were intentionally worshiping, but the part about which they were ignorant that Paul was referencing in Acts chapter 17, verse 23, is the fact that this is the God of heaven and earth, the creator of all that in them is. So they were worshiping Jehovah in ignorance. They weren't ignorant of the fact that they were worshiping. They were ignorant of the object of their worship. Yeah, it's supposed to be teaching and learning and edifying. Now, back to the K-Love and stuff like that. And I'm going to say some stuff that's going to sound very judgmental. I guess it is judgmental, but I'm willing to be judged with this level of judgment. Any artist that you hear on K-Love is not a true Christian. Therefore, anything they touch is tainted. Why do I say that? Well, I don't have an Old Testament handy. Let's go to Haggai and see if we can find this principle. Verse 10 of chapter 2. If I had my Old Testament, I would turn to this, and I know where it is on the page. Ain't that terrible? I do better with a hard copy of the Bible than I do with typing it in on a computer. Yeah, it's like listening to a false teacher like Joel Osteen for some uplifting positive input, but in reality, he comes with so much falsehoods. Ben Grady, that's exactly the way I conceptualize it. I'm going to make that point here. All right. In the 420th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, Now here's the question. If one bears holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil, or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, No. In other words, it shall not be holy. If you have a holy thing and you touch an unclean thing, or if you touch something that's not unclean, if you just touch something that's common, so something holy cannot sanctify something that's common. But what about something that's unclean? Can it defile something that's holy? All right. Verse 13. Then said Haggai, If one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, It shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, So is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every, listen to it, lean in and listen to this, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. These denominational people, these entertainers on K-Love, these contemporary Christian entertainers, they are unclean, and they are offering to God that which is unclean. And when we listen to it, whether we like it or not, we are allowing our minds to be led in devotion by unclean people. I put forth to you that we will be affected by that, and whatever we offer to God, maybe even our very souls, will be unclean. There's a lot to be said for audiobooks. Whoops. There's a lot to be said for audiobooks. I used to spend a lot of time in the car. To me, that was wasted time, especially with children in the car with me. We got a lot of our history books and other books on our traveling, on our reading list taken care of. Absolutely. And Greg James says, On Sunday evenings, I preach on the songs we sing in our song books to make sure we are singing scriptural songs. Absolutely. We people tend to sing without reading the words and mindlessly singing without knowing what we are singing. Amen and amen. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 14? If you're going to pray in the Spirit, you need to pray with the understanding, but there's also singing with the Spirit, and you need to sing with the understanding. Now, I also cannot allow myself to be led by people who are not holy. And as one commenter said on my podcast years ago, when I was covering this very topic, if you think that you can listen to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs and it not guide you and it not be offered to the Lord, guide your mind and offering it to the Lord, then the next time you start listening to or singing Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah, instead of Jehovah, insert my name. Hallelujah, praise Tony. Well, that just made me feel funny. It's Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. From the heavens, praise his name. Singing is a tool given to us by our Creator to help guide our minds onto what is right. And it is not a tool that people who are unholy and unwashed have any right to use. And if we listen to those people and allow our minds to be guided by those people, then we will be changed for the worse, and they will not be changed for the better. One song, yeah, and supporting it in a sense, yeah. You're supporting it in some level. And that's a violation of Ephesians 5:11, folks. Have no fellowship, rather, with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. How can you prove that Hillsong is unholy and not a Christian and are practitioners and purveyors of the unfruitful works of darkness whenever you're singing along with them in your car? One song line literally says, "He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine." Right. Yeah, that's error. And here's the thing. To that, Jonathan and Greg, I guess everybody, I say this, and I try to be balanced, and sometimes I try so hard to be balanced that I foolishly fall over. I readily admit it, okay? But here's my attempt to be balanced. When it comes to our songs that we sing, we can be so absolutely pedantic that we can only sing verses of Scripture straight out of the Bible, and some of them are even suspect. Or we can play so loosey-goosey with definition of terms and author intent that we sing full-blown false doctrine, like "just a little talk with Jesus made me whole." I don't mind the talk with Jesus so much as I mind the fact that this is teaching that you're saved at the point of talking to Jesus. So when I hear that song, "He had no tears for his own grief, but sweat drops of blood for mine," I give that a pass with artistic license, poetic license. I can consciously do that. Some people cannot. There's a man that I greatly respect that he would not sing anything that even remotely implied that we could hear Jesus or God today. "Hark, the gentle word of Jesus falleth tenderly upon your ear." He would change voice to word. What else? And I've lost it. Several songs. Any song that talks about Jesus's voice and stuff like that, he would change to word. I think in some ways he went a little too far, but I'd rather somebody be overly scrupulous in that way than to be so loosey-goosey with definition of terms and such that they try to lead my mind in singing false doctrine. He had much tears for his own grief, and he did sweat drops of blood for mine. Yeah, I'm getting ready to work on a sermon soon about the songs we sing. We are teaching and admonishing one another, but what we sing must be as truthful as what comes from the pulpit. For instance, the song "Have a Little Talk with Jesus" supports the sinner's prayer. You got it. And I used to sing along with the radio. Didn't think much of it since I was mostly listening to the beat. Changed my mind when the word started coming out of the car seat in the back. Woo, sister, that, yeah, boy. That's all I can say. Catchy tunes. Oh, "I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in." And then a little, I would love it for somebody to craft a scriptural song, a scriptural message to that tune. I love that arrangement. Anyway, let's review. Let me try to put this succinctly. Can we listen to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs for entertainment? I put forth to you that the Apostle Paul would say no. That you cannot Bible that, all right? Why? Because Ephesians 5:19 is not tied to a worship service or an assembly. It's literally our walk, our Christian walk. Can we listen to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs and sing along with them from sources other than, that gets a good point. What if there's a YouTube channel that had a cappella singing, no psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, but the Baptist church did it for some reason? Scrupulously, consciously, I would have no issue of conscience listening to that because I listen and sing. I'm not jointly participating with those people. All right? In other words, if I weren't informed one way or the other, I would have no way of knowing whether or not those people were in or out of Christ. Now, you might say, well, Tony, that's still a violation of Ephesians 5:11 according to your logic. We can talk about that. I don't think it is, because I reprove the unfruitful works of darkness when it comes to the doctrine of the Baptist denomination. But this is a recording of people that no longer exist. Now, what do I mean? All those people are still alive and somewhere in the world. But once the recording happens and you upload it to YouTube, then those are not people. That would be the same as me reading the words to a Fannie J. Crosby song. Of all the Fannie J. Crosby songs there are, I can't think of one. Let me Google. All right. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. Wow. The old rugged cross is Fannie J. Crosby? I didn't know that. Yeah, to God be the glory. So, Fannie J. Crosby, she wasn't a Christian, was she? But yet we sing to God be the glory. Why? Because the words are truthful. If Fannie J. Crosby was singing, and I was listening to God be the glory, and I sung along with the recording, I would not actually be singing with Fannie J. Crosby. All right? So, yeah, I may have just talked myself into really diving into the fact that listening to K-Love is a scruple because you're not participating with them. I'm open to more conversation about this. That's why I do the live streams. But my point with the K-Love, let's say Hillsong, they are actually doing something that I can say is wrong as per God's word, and I'm participating in it, even though I'm not participating with them, I'm participating in the action, because the action, in other words, singing along with Hillsong while they played Mechanical Instruments of Music would be the same as singing false doctrine without the Mechanical Instrument of Music. All right. Yeah, John says, I think it may be a scruple too, but I don't know. He wishes sweet peace to me. Yeah, so Sandra Onstead knows the same song leader, and he whispers, yes, he whispers to me. Well, this song leader changes wishes. He wishes sweet peace for me. Yes, he wishes for me. I would rather be led by that man than by somebody who was so lackadaisical that they didn't know what they were leading me in. All right. Do they know how many people are listening? They seem to mention how many are tuning in. I'm not sure. I don't know that I've ever witnessed that. When I listen to the radio versions of Christian music, I tend to hear the instruments as we sing those same songs during our worship service. Oh, Greg, that might be a good reason not to ever do it. I personally don't anymore, but it's been a long time since I've listened to any, like, look, bluegrass music. Y'all, I love bluegrass music more than I love just about any other genre of music. And the problem is, because the bluegrass music has got deep Appalachian roots, there's a whole lot of spiritual stuff, I'll Fly Away and Amazing Grace and stuff like that. It was a long time before I could sing those songs without also hearing in my mind the Mechanical Instruments of Music. To me, that's at least on the same level as having a cough drop in your mouth when you partake of the Lord's Supper. Yeah, the Gaithers Band, John. Yep, my grandmother listened to them. And I grew up in a musical family. You know, we'd get together and, I mean, listen, I don't know, did y'all grow up playing Rook? Whenever I was growing up, if Tuesday was the third day of the week, we'd celebrate Tuesday by having a get-together where we played Rook, and somebody would bring a fiddle and a banjo and a guitar, not the same people, but the different people would bring their musical instruments, and they'd have a picking and a grinning and a Rook playing, and you're not supposed to brag, the Bible says, but I feel like I'm pretty good playing Rook because of that. But we grew up in that kind of household, and it wasn't anything for, you know, amazing. Well, they'd play all them old gospel songs. And like I said, that's why it was a long time before I could sing them and get the mechanical instrument music out of my head. All right, y'all, we're above an hour now. Have I swayed you? Have I muddied the water? Have I cleared anything up? Again, I don't believe what I'm speaking about is an issue of scruple. I believe it's an issue of law, but I have to treat it as scruple because I cannot practically be with you every minute of every day. You've got to work this out for yourself. All right. Rook is the greatest card. Yes, it is, Rusty. I believe you're correct. Ben says, I've questioned religious movies as well, not to jump into something that will take a long time to address. Movies itself has a lot to cover, but it's hard to see someone depicting or acting as Jesus. Yeah, now that, Ben, I think is 100% incontrovertibly scrupulous. I don't feel like I have a particular scruple in that manner, but you know what I've never watched? I've never watched Passion of the Christ. I say that. I've seen clips of it, but I just can't make myself get into it. So whenever I'm really good. There's something whenever you watch a movie, it's called suspension of disbelief. You have to suspend your disbelief. I used to think that I was rather misogynistic because I absolutely hated movies that had a female hero, that had a heroine. That's not true. I love movies that have a female hero, as long as she's a female and not just a male hero that's being played by a woman. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, women and men are different. In the Terminator 2, Sarah Connor, that heifer was a heroine, and she was 100% female. She was not a male hero played by a woman. But there are some movies that have like a 110-pound girl in high heels beating, physically fighting with men, and one, she did a sidekick and pinned a man up against the wall and hit another man that was coming after her. Look, I am fat, I'm overweight, I'm out of shape, and there's not a woman alive in any level of training that could pin me to a wall with her leg. There's not a woman alive on the earth that could do that. There might not be a man alive on the earth that can do that. Now, he could kick me and kill me with one hit, but so what I'm saying is that took me out. So when I would see these heroines that were really just they were female versions of male heroes, my disbelief was not able to be suspended. But when you have a hero that functions within the laws of the particular universe, I really loved it. Now, why did I say all that? Whenever I look at these religious movies, I cannot suspend my disbelief enough to enjoy them. Yeah, I have a Bible to tell me the firsthand accounts. Why watch a recreation with faults? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, VBS of kids dressing as Jesus. That don't particularly bother me. I do think we need to chill with the skits and the stuff like that. But again, that's the issue of judgment. I wouldn't make a fellowship matter over it. And I think that's all we've got, guys. Now, again, I believe psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs They must be sung, the melody, both with the heart, and they must be given to God. Whether you're in the service, in the assembly, or out of the assembly, there's no way that I can Bible a choir coming around and doing this. There's no way that I can Bible listening to it on the radio for entertainment. And there's no way that I can Bible allowing somebody that is actively promoting false doctrine and false a false spirit, the spirit of Antichrist, to lead my mind in oblation to God. And that's it. I just want to be straightforward with that. I don't know that I have a scruple with this. I'd likely watch it. Just the thoughts cross my mind. Not sure I've considered all the variables. But yes, most of them I get hung up on the deviations. Even watching movies that depict murder, should we be watching for entertainment? I don't know. Just thoughts to consider. Yeah, so I will say this before we close. I don't, my family and I and my children now, which my children are not really children, 20 and 18, we don't talk about what we watch on TV. But, and I've said this from the pulpit. I watch things on, when I say TV, Netflix, whatever, I watch things that you would be like, well, Tony, how can you, not just as a Christian, but let alone a gospel preacher, how can you watch that? All right. I disallow myself. I forbid myself from watching things where you would be like, well, what's wrong with that, Tony? Are you saying that I'm going to hell because I'm watching it? No, I'm saying that I have scruples that dictate my actions. You have scruples that dictate yours, and we're not going to have an issue with it. So I just observe the Passover. Very rarely do I talk about what we watch on television. And for that reason, because it's such an issue of judgment. All right. So hopefully I've said something that's made you think. I hope Jonathan says I've helped him. That's great. Hopefully I've helped others. Angie, I like that comment. I've got a Bible to tell me firsthand accounts while I watch a recreation with faults. Good stuff. All right, folks, listen, this has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations. We'd love for you to support the podcast. If you like, it's always good to self-evaluate. If you like this content, if this content adds value to your life, you can support us at Buy Me a Coffee or Patreon. Just go to those platforms and then / Christianity Now. Be sure to support LaBeth at BeAMindfulSoul.com. Avail yourselves of all the services she has to offer. And that's all we've got. God bless you. Thank you very much. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Be the algorithm for us. And we will catch you on the flip side.